Good morning. It's good to be back. I think y'all know this, but I had a slight cough last Friday, Saturday into Sunday. I thought for sure it was nothing, but we were trying to be super careful. So I talked to Edward. He said, well, if we're going to follow the protocol that we want everyone else to follow, you probably shouldn't come. So I didn't come, but praise God. If I was ill, y'all prayed for me and God healed me. But it's good to be back either way. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for letting us be in your house. And Father, we know actually you're in us at all times, not just when we gather together. You indwell us. Thank you for helping us, for leading us, for saving us, for being merciful to us, for forgiveness, for atonement. Thank you. We know that we don't deserve it. In fact, we deserve death. But your mercy has overflowed to us. Thank you. Thank you that we can read your word. Thank you that we can have it in our language. Thank you that we have songs that skilled people have put together that we might sing in a beautiful way to you. Would you help us now as we look to your word? Would you help me, protect me from error? And Father, do what I can't do. Change our hearts. Change our minds that we would be better servants. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. We continue to march along. For our visitors, we've been in Luke for some time now. But we're to chapter 17. Last time, if you remember, we discussed the first few verses of the chapter, 1 through 6. And it's short. I can just read it again. Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come. But woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." And you remember that when the disciples heard this teaching, all of this, they immediately asked Jesus for something. Upon hearing the call to love others, to forgive others, to rebuke those who sin, even for repeated offenses, to continue to forgive again and again, they say to the Lord Jesus, "Increase our faith. This is so difficult. We need more faith, Lord." And I didn't talk about this last time, but this is interesting. They believe that Jesus can increase their faith. Isn't that revealing? They know that they need more, and they know that he can give them more faith. This is not the way some people think that religion and Christianity specifically works. God gives you faith? Indeed, he does. He does. Increase our faith, they cry out. And listen, you know, Jesus said, if you have a little bit of faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you could remove a mountain. And is it hyperbole? The point is, huge obstacles can be uprooted and overcome through faith. Huge problems, all the various issues that come up in your life when you live and walk with your fellow man. You know, you hear people, they say, "I would talk to people, but I just don't like them." There's a lot of truth there, isn't it? And when you think people are hard to deal with and you don't want to deal with them, well, listen, you're one of them. You understand? One of the difficult people that you don't want to talk to, you're one of them. And if you will humble yourself and just understand that everybody's got issues. Everybody has issues. You have mental problems. From the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there is no soundness. Isn't this what the Bible teaches us? All parts of the human personhood has been corrupted by sin, including your mind. Especially, could I say that? Especially your mind. But listen, through faith, you can live peacefully with your fellow man. In fact, you can even live sacrificially for your fellow man. You can even forgive repeated offenses. So many repeated offenses that you start to think maybe they're not sincere in their apologies. How many times, Lord? Up to 7? They think this is a large number. Jesus says, no. As many times as they come back and say, I'm sorry I did that. Forgive me. And we should know this, right? Isn't this the relationship we have with our Father? We sin repeatedly, repeatedly. And we say, oh, we come to ourselves, as the scripture says, and we repent and we say, Lord, thank you for waking me up. Why was I so sinful? Have mercy on me. And he does. And then the next day you sin again in a different way. But his mercy is new every morning. And should that be the attitude of Christians toward other people who are struggling with sin? Definitely. You should cry, oh Lord, increase my faith. And he will. Please stand while we read the word of God. We'll pick up in verse 7. And we'll read through verse 19. Luke 17, verse 7. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, the first part. The servant's job. This is actually very simple. Super simple. The servant's job is to do what they're told to do. Very simple, right? What makes a servant a good servant? A good servant does what they are told to do. If they don't, they're bad. Right? It's very simple. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples, who will really, they're becoming the apostles of the Christian faith. These are not small people as it relates to God's use of them in the world. These are the big shots, if you want to speak that way, of the Christian faith. Jesus says to them, "When the servant has done his duty, he has earned no special praise or merit. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing." Listen, this is very important. He's teaching his disciples. They are going to become the apostles and perform great works for the kingdom of God. When they do their duty, Jesus owes them nothing. It's what they're supposed to be doing. The followers of Jesus are supposed to serve him and his people, not for any reward whatsoever. Now, I understand that the Bible makes promises of eternal life and blessing, but that's not the text here. We can do systematic theology if you want, and you reap what you sow, and good followers of Jesus are blessed. We can say that. But in this section, this biblical theology, in this section, Jesus is emphasizing that God does not owe them when they serve well. It's what they're supposed to be doing. If we serve continually, day and night, we're good servants. That's it. Jesus says, "Does the master say thanks to the one who did what they were supposed to do?" And listen, you're supposed to answer the question, no, he doesn't say thanks. Now listen, you might put yourself in this position and say, isn't this kind of rude? You hire somebody to do something for you, they do it, and then you don't thank them when they get done? But it is sort of weird, isn't it? You're thanking them by giving them the money. Right? It's not like they came and did it because they wanted to. And then you say, thanks. But the point here is different. Jesus is the master of the universe. All people should bow and serve him. He doesn't need to tell them thanks. It's their privilege to get to serve him. Really. Now listen, Jesus is very complex and deep. He came to serve and not to be served. But that's also not the point he's emphasizing here. His point is, you need to do your duty. Your job is to serve God at all times. All times. That's what will make you. You, Brother Eric, you prayed two times in your prayer this morning. Help us to be better servants. Help us to be good servants. And I've already laid it out for you, and you know this is true. It's very simple. Good servants do what their master tells them to do. It's very simple. What's difficult is that we don't want to do it sometimes. That's the hard part. And then, when we do it, we think we're special now. Am I the only one who feels this way? When you're not doing your job, you feel bad, right? You know you're not doing your job. But when you do your job, don't you feel like you'd like to have a little pat on the back? You did a good job. That's the opposite of what Jesus is teaching here. When they've done all that they've been commanded of them, the master is no debtor to them because they did their duty. In fact, what they're supposed to say at the end, listen, Jesus is teaching this to the future apostles, when you've done all that you've been commanded to do, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty. No more. The Apostle John did no more than what was his duty to do. Is that your attitude about whatever work you've done in Christ? I'm an unworthy servant, Lord. I've only done what was my duty. I mean, the work that we do, the Bible says, will be manifest that it was done in God, right? He who comes to the light comes out so that everyone can see that his deeds were done in God. The point is for the glory to go to God, not for us to receive praise, right? A good servant would never steal glory from their master, not even attempt to take the glory. A good servant would always humble themselves and point back to the master's greatness. Well, listen, those are for earthly masters who are also filled with inconsistency and sin. Not God, right? He should always get all the praise and all the glory. And we want to do that. We want to. But as you're doing your work in the kingdom of God, remember what Jesus said. God's not going to serve you. You need to do what you're supposed to do. You're his servant. He's not your servant. And when, well, he is. Jesus is complex in this way. He came to serve. Is Jesus your servant? Yes. He served me. But you see the point. Ask God to help you and increase your faith in serving. At all times, we are servants of God. We kind of like to check out sometimes. For this 4 hours, I'm not a servant of God. I'm just doing what I want. Then I'll go back to being his servant when the 4 hours is over. Pray and ask God. Okay, that's the first section. Verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, this is between Samaria and Galilee. So in the countryside, really, in the frontier, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. He's in between. And he enters into a village, or he starts to enter into a village, and 10 lepers approach him. Now, let's think about lepers for a second. Most of the time when people had leprosy, the others would view it as divine judgment. And we see this often in the scriptures. Somebody will do something wrong. What was the guy's name? Uzziah, who tried to burn incense in the temple. Can't remember his name at the moment. And the priest tried to warn him and said, don't do this. You are not in the right tribe to be doing this. Leave this alone. And he became angry and stretched out his hand, and his hand was made leprous by God. We see this on numerous occasions in the scriptures. Now, why were these men leprous? For their sin or their parents' sin? We don't know. Maybe for the glory of God. Verse 12, as he was entering a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Why did they stand at a distance? They're supposed to, right? Others were afraid that they would get it. The law commanded them to separate themselves if they had leprosy. They were unclean. Verse 13, so the lepers meet Jesus. They stand at a distance and lift up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, this is interesting. I'm not positive of how they know this is Jesus, but they definitely have heard of him, right? His reputation preceded him. Have mercy on us, Master, even they call him. Not sure if this is just a polite way to speak to him or if they honestly view Jesus as their master. Have mercy on us. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now listen, this is from Leviticus chapter 14. You know, it's not clear why Jesus tells them this. Is he testing their faith? Is this like Naaman, where he was told, go wash in the Jordan 7 times? You remember? Naaman is angry. He's like, what? There are better rivers than this in my homeland. Do you think I haven't tried to take a bath? Scrub it off? And he's convinced by his servant, just try it. And he does it, and he's healed. Not sure if that's what's going on here, or if Jesus wants the priest to see what he's done, and for news of this to spread. But Leviticus 14, just listen. Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. And this is why. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 live clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet yarn and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them in the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. And there's much more in this Leviticus 14. But this is what Jesus is doing. He's honoring the law. No one can accuse him of not obeying the law. And he's not just giving lip service to it either. You want me to have mercy? Okay, go show yourselves to the priest. This is what people are supposed to do. This is what has been prescribed for you to do. Either way, whether it was to test their faith or to show it to the priests for the priest's benefit, either way, they do heed the command of Jesus and they start to go out to see the priests. And the scripture says, as they went, they were healed. The end of 14. As they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Now listen, don't miss this, because we see Jesus healing miraculously so many times in the Bible, we might miss the power and the awe of it. He heals 10 lepers at once without touching them. In fact, he's not even in their presence. Go show yourself to the priest. They start to, what we assume is they're on down the road and all of a sudden they're cleansed. The power of Jesus. Leprosy is very bad. They're cleansed. Doesn't this make you think of the centurion servant? Oh, well, I'll go heal him. And the centurion, oh, no, just say the word. I know what it is to have power to command things, and you have that power. Say the word. This is what happened here, too. Jesus said the word, and the 10 lepers are healed. One of the lepers, well, this is This is revealing about the mental problems that people have and the sin problem. One of the lepers is filled with thanksgiving and gratitude and went back to praise and thank Jesus. When we read that, it seems totally appropriate, right? Isn't that what he should have done? Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! The text says he went back and praised God in a loud voice. Of course he did. Something miraculous just happened. This guy's life is going to be back to normal. Now listen, we didn't really talk about this, but 10 lepers, I thought you're supposed to stay away from people if you have leprosy. Well, if they're lepers too, then you can have a little bit of community. So much so that you even have Jewish lepers and Samaritan lepers traveling around together, when normally they would have no dealings with each other. Sometimes illness has a way of evening things out, doesn't it? It'd be hard for them to assert their spiritual superiority over a Samaritan while they have leprosy. One is filled with gratitude. He goes back to give thanks, praising God with a loud voice. Verse 16, he fell on his face, even at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, this is interesting because we just read about what should the servant expect. Would Jesus thank them for serving? No, but they should thank him. Do you understand? They should thank him and be very grateful for his work. This man is cleansed and he explodes into praise of God and gratitude. He bows down. He falls on his face, giving him thanks. And the text says, now, he was a Samaritan. What? We see this on multiple occasions. People who you don't expect to be the ones who were people of faith come to faith. And the ones that you think are not far from the kingdom of God, but they're actually not. They're not believers. They're not believers. I saw a meme recently that was talking about masks in church, and he said, some of y'all are very upset about having to wear a mask in church, but you've been wearing masks in church for many years already. It's like, whoa, that's it. That's hitting close to home, man. Often those that seem to be like everything is completely fine and cool and they've got everything under control, they're humans. Humans have issues. This guy here, the one out of 10 who came back, is a Samaritan. Jesus says, verse 17, verse 18, were not 10 cleansed? See, it's right for them to give thanks to him. In fact, it's wrong that 9 of them didn't come back to give thanks. Did they obey his word? Go show yourself to the priest? Yes, they did. And what happened to them after they were healed? They just ran off and never thought about Jesus again? How could that be possible? How ungrateful and sinful would you have to be healed of leprosy and immediately forget and not give thanks to the one who healed you? Did they think that it was coincidence? Jesus didn't heal us. He told us to go show ourselves to the priest. God healed us. Jesus finds fault with that. We know because of the question. Where's the 9? How come you're the only one who came back to give thanks? And you're a foreigner. Where's the nine? Listen, this is a problem for all humans as well, isn't it? Sometimes we're more mindful of how thankful we should be, or how thankful we are. Do you give thanks before you eat your food? I've given thanks for almost every meal that I've eaten for the last 20 years. Sometimes I do it because that's my tradition. It's my habit. I think I'm thankful, really, most of the time. But sometimes we're not thankful when we should have been. God blesses us. He does great things. We might focus on the small thing that didn't go how we wanted it to go. And so we're angry and bitter instead of thankful. When the Bible talks about the human tongue, with it we give thanks to God and praise and then also curse. Brothers, these things should not be, we are taught. Well, listen, let us pray that we'll be like the one leper who, upon receiving the mercy of God, was very thankful. Very thankful. And Jesus tells him, verse 19, he's not just saved from his sickness, he's saved. Jesus says, go away, go, your faith has made you well. The others, not the same, right? They're healed, but they're not healed. You know what I'm saying? The sickness of sin remains on them. Well, that's the text for today. Two passages, one about a servant's duty and what should be the master's response. Let us humble ourselves under the sight of God. O Lord, it is my honor to serve you. It is my privilege to serve you. I do not expect anything from you. In fact, you owe me nothing. I owe you everything. That should be our attitude. And when God blesses us, give thanks. Don't be like the wicked who don't give thanks. And if you're not thankful, listen, petition your God and ask Him to increase your faith and make you more thankful. And He will. He delights in answering the prayers of His people. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of Jesus, both to change us from servants of darkness into servants of light. Father, you change us from proud and arrogant people to humble people. You change us to thankful people. And I pray that you'd protect us from being cynical and bitter, skeptical about your work in the world and the people around us. Father, let us be about your business and let us be thankful. Protect us from being ungrateful people. Cause us to be grateful and cause us to look to the Lord Jesus and live. And we pray that you'd be with us now as we have some time of fellowship and go back to our homes. Father, we're so thankful that we can be together and that we weren't a people, but you've made us into the people of God. And we thank you for that. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.